Fight!
Welcome to New Game Plus. This is a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
My name is Nolan.
And this is episode 61. And this is the actual morning of Kenny's wedding.
What?
It's why true.
Why are we recording?
Because it allows me to be sitting next to Dustin, who is here for my wedding, and we didn't have another opportunity to do it. So we got up a little early, jumped on the bandwagon a little sooner than normal, and I'm going to leave this and go have probably one of the most important days of my life.
Yeah.
I'm so happy for you.
I'm so happy for you, too. Not entirely sure if we should be recording on the day of your actual wedding, but Nolan,
I don't either.
You and I were not pushing this. This is Kenny's idea.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, yeah. My wife was like, no, he's not. He's not going to record on.
Yeah, exactly.
She's concerned about you, Kenny, just to let you know, but I said we're recording, so.
It's all right.
Last time we recorded, Nolan and I were in the same room because Nolan and his wife came to visit me and mine. And this Saturday, a week later, I'm sitting at Kenny's house. And we live all across the world now. Like, when we started this podcast, Nolan and I lived close. But yeah. Now we live so far apart, and I say across the world, kind of mean the United States, but now I'm far away from my home at Kenny's, and we're going to record and then go put on suits and get this man married.
Wow.
It's going to be great.
So does that mean that I need to visit Kenny next, or does he need to come see me next?
Yes.
Can we record the next episode together?
Both, yes.
You can come join us on our honeymoon, and we'll record an episode.
Oh, great.
There.
Okay, that works. That works.
Yeah. In fact, y'all, okay, I'm just going to move on from that one. There's too much to be said. But honestly, T minus like 5 hours until you're a married man. So,
oh my gosh.
Kenny, I've got to ask before it's official. You've got one last time to answer this very important question before you get hitched, all right? So before you say I do you have any final fantasies you'd like to get off your chest and talk about?
I hate
that was maybe my favorite segue yet. That was the best thing that's ever happened to me.
Well, you're about to get married. There's going to be some more. Just wait.
So I'm definitely pumped for the wedding. Even more pumped than I was when we figured out that our game this week is Final Fantasy. Definitely a classic game. It was a lot of fun to play. So let's talk about it.
Overview.
For the four of you who do not know, Final Fantasy is a role-playing game developed by Square in 1987. So we've got another 80s game here. It's been remade several times, so maybe you've played this game, but maybe on the Game Boy, where they remade it on the Game Boy Advance and kind of updated the graphics a little bit and made the gameplay a little smoother. But this week we played the NES version, so that's what this game was originally on.
Some of you that are very lucky may be currently playing this game on the new Nintendo Mini that just came out this last week. I know, really hot commodity in the sort of retro gaming universe, and this game is included on that, I believe, in its exact original form. And so if you're one of the lucky ones who got ahead of the curve and are sporting one of those minis, you got to play with us. I'm a little bit of a hipster and got to actually play on my original NES from the cartridge this week, which was great, except it does make things a little slower and not quite as efficient as finding another way to play, but super fun to get to bust that out and feel truly retro this week as we played.
So, I mean, many people have probably heard this story before, and it might be a little bit legend, but it may be a little bit stretched, but the reason why this game in the series is called Final Fantasy, in part at least, is because they were confident this was going to be their last game produced from this company because they weren't doing well financially, whatever the case might be, and so it was going to be Final Fantasy. I know that recently he's also addressed that they wanted to call it Fighting Fantasy, and but that was, there were some copyright issues there, and so they went with Final Fantasy, but I also know that this was kind of their last-ditch effort, is their Final Fantasy, and now there's been well over 20 Final Fantasies.
Isn't that nuts? They were on the brink of bankruptcy, and they were like, well, let's just make it.
It's so
like,
crazy.
Like, that's nuts.
Absolutely. If there's any game, though, that is going to save your company and get you back on the right track, it's a, like, genre-defining title that is one that's going to spawn games for years to come. And Final Fantasy definitely was all of those things.
Yeah. So it wasn't the first RPG or even the first of its kind, like, I believe Dragon Warriors before this game, right?
As a part of this podcast, we played one that was its predecessor, which was Dragon Warrior, Dragon Quest. Great game.
This game just popularized it, though.
Yeah,
like it just hit something.
Dragon Quest inspired this game for sure. Like, a lot of the characteristics and qualities of this game were derived from that, but really just took and perfected. Kenny, you can speak more to that because Dragon Warrior was your game.
Yeah, absolutely, but the thing that to me makes this the most obvious is the fact that in Final Fantasy you actually find a little Easter egg that is a reference to the Dragon Warrior game, kind of in homage, and it just becomes really clear that there was this progression going on of things that worked, and then people would come along and add some new things, and in this case add a lot of new and very creative things. And make things better and more different and, you know, unique, and take a different take on it. And to me, that even shows from the NES with Final Fantasy to years later on the Super Nintendo with Chrono Trigger, where you can see the influence of Final Fantasy very heavily in some of the things that they did, especially in, like, map design and how you control the flow of play and those kind of things.
I just thought now, which is interesting, and there's no way they meant it this way, but their homage to Dragon Quest could actually be like a cut, because is what it is. It's the main character of Dragon Quest, his name on a tombstone. So they could, in fact, be saying that Dragon Warrior is dead with Final Fantasy.
I'm going with that one. That's pretty awesome.
Nah, it was shouting out to something that came before.
So let's address real quick just the plot before we move into the actual gameplay. The story is fairly simple. It's a group of heroes who are trying to take out an evil. They are the Light Warriors, and we'll discuss in gameplay as we talk about what characters we actually selected, but this is one of the original games where you pick from the start who your squad is, who your team is, and all three of us, I think, this week had a different team altogether. And so you pick who your team is. Those are the Light Warriors, and they go around trying to take out these evil, malevolent forces and restore peace to the kingdom.
Yeah.
Of course, they're carrying some shiny orbs with them that for some reason aren't lit and yet light up as they progress through the game and make progress in defeating evil. And, you know, there are lots of cliches through there. But I guess maybe when you're some of the first, it's not actually a cliche yet. It's just when everybody goes back and does the things that you did that it becomes a cliche. So I'll let them off the hook this time.
Also interesting, Final Fantasy is usually all about crystals, but these are orbs. So I thought the original included crystals, but I guess not. I don't know when that was introduced.
Gameplay.
So what was your character setup? Who did you have on your team? And let me just state and help me out. You've got the options of a fighter. You've got a red mage, a white mage, a black mage, a thief, and a
black belt.
Black belt, that's correct. So that's who you have, and you can only select four. And you can also do duplicates. So, Nolan, what team did you go with? What setup?
I went with two fighters and two red mages because I did some reading, and you kind of want a good balance, I guess, generally, and that's across all RPGs, but I wanted two powerhouses, and then red mages are probably my favorite class, and so I was just like, why not? Doubled up.
Yeah, the diversity on that class is a lot of fun. They're a really great character. I definitely wanted to dish out some big damage and wasn't especially interested in being too beefy. I wanted to kind of go a glass cannon build. And so with the influence of my fiance, who helped me pick my team for this week, I ended up with a thief, a black belt, a red mage, and a black mage. So lots of pow-pow and not a lot of survivability.
And I did something entirely different than what y'all did, as well as something entirely different than what I'm used to. It's not entirely different from what you did, Nolan, but still different enough. I mean, every single character slot changes the game tremendously, because that's how you're equipping your team, how much of your finances you're spending on your team, from buying your magic spells to your weapons and your armor. So I went 3 fighters and 1 red mage. So I had 1 magic caster. That your red mage, by the way, he can do a little bit of white magic, a little bit of black magic, but he can't do the extreme spells of those, nor does he have as many charges as those other characters. And then your fighters are just your brute strength. They can equip almost any weapon you come across, and any armor you come across. And so that was my squad.
Yeah. And to make up for the lack of, like, in-game spells the Red Mage can cast, they pack quite a punch with their melee. So that's kind of the balance with that class. They're just really, really diverse in what they can do.
Absolutely. A little bit of everything, and do nothing poorly, but don't excel at any one thing. It's a real fun character class.
Did you guys sit on that menu for a really long time trying to figure out what you wanted to do? Because I spent maybe an hour trying to name them, because there's only 4 character slots. Or, you can only name your characters 4 letters long.
Please don't ask Kenny about his character names. Worst ever.
Oh, no, they were
Kenny,
actually
what are
really,
your character names?
No, they were really terrible. We're not even going to talk about it. But, because it was just so limited, and I was at the point where I cared about the party and wanted to play the game, but not what they were called. And so it was terrible. I know most everyone is familiar with the RPG genre, but why don't we talk a little bit about kind of how this game, like, actually plays once you've got that character selection down and you jump into the game, and how it feels similar to or different from some other RPGs people may have played in the past?
So once again, I mean, this is now stereotypical RPG, then groundbreaking RPG. You've got your world map, and then you've got your dungeons. Those are pretty much your 2 different, not interfaces, but 2 different locations where you spend the majority of your time. World map, you're traversing to the next location, getting into random battles, and running from everything. And then in the dungeons, you are still getting in random locations, but you're doing the task. So you're probably going through a few mini bosses, going to the final boss within that dungeon, possibly getting an orb or a key or something that's going to, an item that's like a tail that's going to unlock progression in the game, and also running from every random encounter.
You say running, but you don't say that accidentally, because the pace of this game is slow enough that if you're trying to actually make progress, you have very little choice but to actually run from a significant portion of your fights if you want to keep things moving along. I guess you could take it slow and grind out every single fight and kind of get ahead through experience, so that you kind of just plow through everything. But if you're really trying to progress, and with only a week to play, I think that was the case for us, and in the middle of a game whose pace is fairly slow overall, you find that you are often booking it away from fights and just fighting the things that are either worth it the most on the money or experience front, or that are important for gameplay progression, your actual bosses and mini bosses and those kind of things.
I did not run from battles. I was wanting to plow through everything, and yeah, it took forever, so I didn't get like as far as I wanted to get, but I always like being ahead in levels. Just, it makes me feel safer and better when I play RPGs, especially one that's this old and intimidating.
Sure. And see, in RPGs, there is a section of your gameplay that is called grinding. And might not be what you think it is, Kenny, but it is, it's where you find a specific location that's beneficial, that gives you enough gold and or experience. And for at least an hour, you just move back and forth, getting random encounters to try to level up your party so that you can take the next dungeon with some kind of success.
I like that you specify at least an hour. Like if you sit down and just like farm experience for 47 minutes, you're actually soft. And you aren't playing correctly, and you aren't actually having the RPG experience, Dustin.
Not true.
grinding is a part of these RPGs, so that's why some people don't even care for RPGs. That's, I mean, I've addressed before, Kara and I, my wife and I, we play games together a lot. She doesn't like to watch many of the RPGs because of that reason alone. And in this game, it's required to take some time to grind if you want to be successful at any rate.
At least in older RPGs, that's really true. They've moved away from that in level design of more current RPGs to where you are leveling up and that's important, but to where that's less tied with actual game progress, which is, has actually been a pretty big development. You look at something like Skyrim or something that's more immersive open world RPG, and they've handled that hurdle really well, but it definitely is sort of a classic part of anything prior to 2000 probably, or so, just really ballparking, probably even later than that, on the RPG landscape, is just lots of fights because you got to get that experience.
And part of those fights that I found even slower and really frustrating was the high rate of misses, like when you're trying to auto attack and you miss your attack. That's like a thing in most RPGs.
Yeah, but this one especially, the first half of the game is just called, like, miss everything, and it's unbelievably frustrating.
Yeah.
Because the pace of the battles are so slow that if you miss, that's going to add at least another, like, 2 or 3 minutes onto your battle.
And then, like, a boss fight, that's huge. If you're missing damage, like, and you're taking damage, like, that sucks. And then the way that the battle system is set up, or the game mechanics, rather, in old Final Fantasies, you would select an enemy, and so you could have all four party members select the same enemy. If the first two characters kill the enemy, then your second two moves will retarget to another enemy. And
in the later games, it works that way. Not in this.
Yeah, one. Even in later Final Fantasies. But in this one, if that enemy dies and you have some characters queued up to attack him, it doesn't retarget them. You just lose that turn.
Right, they're basically swinging like at midair. You know, the idea is like the enemy has died, it's not there anymore, but they're targeting its location. And so you can really waste a lot of your potential damage if you don't target intelligently. Which adds a little bit of strategy to the fights, but in sort of an annoying way. But I did find it kept me more mentally engaged than a fight where you could just literally say, like, auto attack, auto attack, auto attack,
and just like mash A,
go through. Yeah, you can, but it will take a lot longer if you just are mashing A, especially if you have like a really fighter heavy group like that. And it becomes a little even more complex to balance when you're both casting with a mage and doing some AoE, and then also doing some single target damage. Trying to balance that well is really tough. But I mean, while we're talking about pace kind of things, casting an AoE at all, it's very much a time-consuming process. It overall saves time because it's one spell knocks everybody out, but it literally goes enemy to enemy and casts that spell individually and does an individual amount of damage.
Yeah.
And so it's not actually saving you a lot of time, it's just saving you a lot of resources. And it's great, but it definitely slows down the pace, which is one of the things that this game doesn't do as well as it should.
One of the most beautiful things about this game is that in 1987, it had class progression, which is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, that is crazy.
And so at a certain point in the story, and it's fairly late in the story, so just to be honest with you, unless any of us spent, 24 hours plus maybe on this game this week, then we most likely didn't get to that evolution. But your fighter changes to a knight, your black belt changes to a grandmaster, your red mage changes to a red wizard, your thief changes to a ninja, your white mage changes to a white wizard, and black mage to a black wizard. And with that, there's some changes and evolutions to what you're allowed to equip and spells that you're allowed to cast.
And it also changes your in-game character icons from fairly simplistic icons to these slightly more complex things that are absolutely, for what they had to work with, things of beauty.
Beautiful.
The design on that stuff, especially on that progression, is mind-blowing. I remember playing this game as a kid and getting to that point and having no idea that that progression was going to happen and everything changing in the game and being just absolutely blown away.
Stunning.
I love the graphics in this game. Yeah, what they were working with, I don't know how they pulled this off. Like, it it's so playable. I mean, visually, you still today, it looks amazing. And yeah, I think the character models are the most impressive things to me. Like your party members, so colorful. So, well, mine wasn't. Mine was all red because I had, and I guess yours was too, Dustin, two fighters and two red mages. But yeah, they did a great, great job. And those character sprites have lasted. They're a staple for the series still.
Yeah, they really are. And not just diversity in the look of your characters, but diversity in the look of the monsters. Some really creative design on the monster sprites.
Yeah.
The fact that Garland, you get looks backgrounds amazing, like per the area that you're in, to set you up in the scene a little bit during the fight. And the fact that as you swap weapons and different spells, you get different animations for each of those things. Like you can tell which weapon somebody's using just by the weapon that they hold, even though they kind of just swing it basically. The fact that it's different and unique per character really is just such a great little detail.
It's unbelievably remarkable. Like 1987, guys, we played other games around this era, and there's no kind of individuality like this game has with its sprites, its color, the evolution, the progress, the music, which we haven't even addressed. Every single element of this was groundbreaking at the time, and that is why, in large part, Final Fantasy I was not even close to their last Final Fantasy.
Okay, you said music, and we know we all loved it because it is super, super iconic. But Nolan, you tend to be the music guy, so why don't you just like gush for a second? Because we all know how we felt about this music.
Yeah, it can be summed up pretty simply. The music in this game in 87, Final Fantasy I on the NES, is still in the series. The title music, the
still being
chime
used today.
That you, it's the exact same. It's the same. Because they didn't change it because it's gorgeous. It's a beautiful arrangement, and it's amazing, and it's a staple. They defined their entire feel of their worlds and the fantasy that you're about to embark on with their composer, whoever that person is. It changes from game to game, but it stayed the same because they just hit it perfectly. And
here, 3 decades later, we are in the Final Fantasy games and series using the same songs that were in Final Fantasy I. That's unbelievable.
It's crazy.
Not only did they start some like iconic stuff, which when you're doing through a series really makes sense that some of those things carry over, but there was diversity within it as well. Like you go into different dungeon types and the music changes to match the mood.
Yep.
From your overworld to your menu screens to the kind of things you're accomplishing in battle, like what you are feeling and doing is supplemented perfectly by the score to this game. And it's just the cherry on a really, really sweet sundae.
A Final Fantasy sundae. Hey, so one last thing in gameplay before we move to Age. Kenny, he's getting married today. So last night we had his bachelor party. And you viewers may have been to some wild bachelor parties. Well, I'll tell you this much. We had a wild one last night that concluded with Kenny bringing over his Nintendo, plugging it up to a 4K high definition television, and playing Final Fantasy I in front of a group of a dozen guys. The party quickly died, but Kenny and I stuck around and we tried to clear the ice cave, and it was beautiful.
I mean, party was already on its last feet, but we pushed through, and it was super fun playing that classically old game on this massive piece of new technology. And even though like the graphics are nothing like it, we literally just looked at some Final Fantasy 15 gameplay prior to that. Like the fun factor for me was 100% still there, just because this title is so classic.
I've got a picture, so I'll post it up on our social media so that you guys can kind of experience
Please.
That with me, but it was a lot of fun.
I've never wanted to be somewhere more. I wish I could have been there.
I know, it hurts my heart. We thought about you throughout the night.
Thanks, guys. So, we've been mentioning the series has obviously continued. We're now at Final Fantasy 15, long-awaited, many years in the works, and so we need to take a step back and look at the older games and figure out how they hold up to the series today. So how do you guys think Final Fantasy I aged?
Yeah, I want to be very fair. I think you can tell by listening to all of us that this game is art. Like, it's incredible. There's so many great qualities about it. But let's be honest and take off our rose-tinted glasses. There are some glaring issues with this game. But you must acknowledge that it is 1987. So let me just throw out a few, and then y'all can throw out a few more or talk about the ones that I mentioned. But the progression, very slow, because you have to traverse. There's a lot of random encounters that you're on your feet for a long time before you get any kind of, before you get the airship to where you're not in random battles anymore. The random battles themselves take an eternity sometimes, because you can have up to 9 enemies that you're facing, and it's a very slow moving progression. Another thing that was that speaks to its age negatively is the enemy AI. It's just not fluid all the way through. Sometimes you'll be fighting somebody that is doing 1 damage still, while to your teammates, while others are doing upwards of 100 plus, and I'm fine with the 1, you know, when I'm playing through, but I don't feel like it translates across the board. And then I'll come to some bosses, so like I've been fighting some fairly difficult random encounters, and then I come to the vampire within that earth cave, and he's the boss there, and I take him out in 1 hit. So like there's some things that just aren't across the board, and across the progression of the game, they don't scale correctly.
Besides some of those balance things, there were a few design decisions as well that put a real damper on things. The fact that you can only buy 1 item at a time was a major time sink. If you wanted to stock up on heal potions, if you were running a party that didn't have a lot of magic or a white mage to do healing for you and keep you topped off.
Those things are expensive.
Even once you got to a point where you had the money to buy them, you're literally buying 1 heal potion at a time. Like, I want to buy a heal potion. Yes, thank you. And that whole progression is taking like 5 to 10 seconds, like per transaction. And you want to do that 99 times so that you're fully stocked for some really, really difficult dungeon. And that's a really, really annoying piece of the game. And there's a few other little things like that that are not wise. Dustin, you mentioned the enemy AI, and it's definitely true. It's not great. It never is for enemies at this, you know, point in time. But I remember fighting a boss who like cast fast on himself, which is normally pretty intimidating because the next time they hit you, they're about to hit you so hard. And so I was like, I was buckling in. I'm probably going to lose one of my characters to this monster hit. His next turn rolls around and he just casts the same spell on himself again, and it does absolutely nothing. It's ineffective. And before he gets a chance to actually hit me, he's dead. So there's definitely some corners that could have been rounded out, both in the design and making it a little more fluid in progression and in the pacing in the interface. But I don't think those things are strong enough deterrents to take away from so many of the really, really unique game things. You look at things like the map design and the way they did in-world progression with the different vehicles and allowing you to go certain places and not progress until you explored and figured out story and then did something. And then that opens up a whole nother piece of the game where you can then continue to explore and do something new. And it's those creative kinds of things that really stick out to me. And even though this is an old game, make it one that I can pick up and play today and still have absolutely so much fun with.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, playing this week reminded me, or kind of showed me, why this wasn't their last Final Fantasy. Yeah. And it's because these flaws we've mentioned, pretty big flaws, pretty annoying gameplay flaws. They weren't just like, oh, we didn't like them. I mean, it's pretty objective. Like they slowed the game down. However, you see a company that recognizes these things, listens to feedback, and improves on them. I mean, even a couple games later, you don't have to do like the animation to cast fire on every enemy doesn't do it individually. It's all at one time.
Right.
It saves time there. I mean, there's just...
You can buy multiples of things. Pretty much all the things that we have beef with, they literally turn around and fix almost immediately.
Yeah. And I appreciate a company that does that. And that's exactly why we're here today gawking at the fact that they almost went bankrupt. And And not only that, push the boundaries from game to game with new mechanics and new ideas, new battle systems. And people will complain, you know, I hated Final Fantasy XII. The battle system was stupid. Okay, someone loved it. I know a lot of people hated Final Fantasy XIII because it was so linear. I love it. It's one of my favorite ones. So, like, there's going to be a Final Fantasy you're going to like. Now, back to Final Fantasy I, back to the game we played. I still think it was groundbreaking, and it's crazy that they were able to pull it off with the limited resources they have. And despite the slowdowns, despite the grinding and the more annoying things, it's going to take time. It's going to take a commitment to play the game. So that's what's going to hold most people back, I think, is that you can't simply play it in a week. I certainly can't. I didn't get far at all. Also, besides Kenny's wedding, we didn't mention Thanksgiving was this week, so it's been crazy.
Yeah, you're completely right, Nolan. We play some platformers or some fighting games or things that you can pick up and get a complete taste of the game in just an hour, a couple of hours worth of play. And you don't really get right. that until you like fully delve into this story and get to the point where characters are progressing and get to the point where interesting things are starting to happen. And so it's kind of too bad that we don't get to put more time into each game that we play. Although even if you only play through that like starting island, seeing how this game plays and then watching the little detail stuff they do, like the opening credits rolling right as you cross that first bridge, and it just feels like a prequel, and the music is great, and they're like, yes, this game's good, look at what we just did, give us some credit for it. It just has a confidence and I don't know, to me, like, a knowledge of, like, this is something special that sort of comes through to me across, you know, so many elements of this game.
And then its legacy. We need to speak to that in regards to its age. Every game has a legacy, either a poor one and a short-lived one, or a long-lived one that's robust and great and vibrant, and that's Final Fantasy. From the music that is reused time and time and time again, from the multiple spin-offs, if you can call it that, and the future editions of Final Fantasy and entries into the series, there's been a plethora of those. You've got even 8-Bit Theater, which I don't know if either of you read that that sprite-based webcomic back in the day, but they used Final Fantasy I characters, and it was kind of a red versus blue thing in regards to the Halo realm. It was more for the RPG fanatic, but it was a lot of fun. And I mean, there's even movies that have come out in the Final Fantasy series. Final Fantasy would not be what it is today. There would not have been a Final Fantasy 15 that was just recently released and hopefully is going to get the reviews that I imagine it deserves if there wasn't this original Final Fantasy that laid this groundwork, that did a lot of beautiful and novel things to set this series on a great trajectory to do incredible things for multiple decades.
The final shell shock.
Which brings us to the question that we always conclude our episodes with. Guys, do you give this game, Final Fantasy I, your vote for New Game Plus status?
I guess I'll start. I mentioned in the age that it's going to take time commitment, and it's going to take a lot of focus and attention to progress through this game. And nowadays, that's not really viable for a lot of people. I know that I can't spend as much time as I used to in college just staring at a screen, although as much as I want to, I just can't. But despite the time that it takes to play, it's well worth spent for me, in my opinion, because of what I'm looking at and what I'm experiencing, like visually, through music, through the gameplay. It's all worth it. And so I would even break this game down into like small segments a day, play a little bit and progress. I'm definitely not done with this game. I want to keep going. So yeah, I definitely give it New Game Plus, and I think everyone should experience it. I know that RPGs turn a lot of gamers off. They just don't like the genre, and that's totally fine. I still think it's fun and something that most people should be able to find some enjoyment out of.
All right, so that's one affirmative. Kenny, what say you?
I feel kind of bad. This is one of those games that it's almost to me a given before we even play it, having been a game that we all played and is literally one of those just like classic titles. And I'm with you, Dustin. I want to be fair and objective. Going back and playing this game again definitely loses some of the magic of the first playthrough, where there's this sense of discovery and you're figuring this stuff out for the first time. When you're going back and playing a game again, you don't have that as much, because you kind of know some of the story surprises, you know some of the puzzles, so there's no sort of reward for solving those kind of things. And that's some of the appeal in a game like this. And you also get a lot more bogged down with the grind and with the time it takes to progress, even than you would playing the game a first time where it all feels fresh. And so I definitely had moments that I wasn't having as much fun with this playthrough as I've had with this game in the past, where it's just absolutely floored me. But I still had an absolutely great time going back and playing through this classic. It's a gym. You start playing the music, and then the music gets in your head, and you're singing it all day, and you're having to think and interact and stay on your toes, or your party really will end up wiped. Like, there's a little bit of difficulty level to this game that's appealing. And just across the board, I had a lot of fun going back and playing it. Even in the middle of a really busy week, it was worth slotting in a little bit of time for. And had a really fun time, and it's a classic game. So for me, of course, it gets my New Game Plus status.
So that's two affirmatives. So I'll just simply say, we do the whole thing. That is the victory fanfare music of Final Fantasy 1, Final Fantasy 2, Final Fantasy 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and all the other ones, because this game and this series is epic and deserves the recognition that it receives.
That one does still take me to chocobo races, though, for sure. Like, there's enough Final Fantasy 7 in my blood that when I hear that theme, I'm definitely like, where's the chocobo?
Exactly. Great game. It's got its faults. It's not a perfect game, but it is a beautiful game that everyone should play. We all three agree. And so Final Fantasy 1 receives our vote for New Game Plus status. We received a few emails and tweets this week from loyal viewers. One from Antonin. He said, I never finished Final Fantasy 1. And I'm quite ashamed of that, because it's a solid game. I played the PSP remake, and it was awesome. The one thing that still sticks in my head is the character creation in Final Fantasy 1 and the fact that I didn't like it. I tend to be pretty bad at figuring out how to balance a team. You should see my Pokemon lineup, seriously. So, given a choice to create my own team from scratch at the very beginning of a game was a nightmare, and honestly kept me from really investing into the game. What if I made a crappy team? What if that would bite me in the butt later? I did not want to play an entire game fearing that I'd regret making some decisions so early in the game. Other than that, I was pretty fine with how the game did not give you a lot of direction and the difficulty of it. Hope you guys had fun.
I can totally relate with that stress, Antonin, of getting through the game and just not being happy with your party, like just thinking you made the wrong decision. Like, I can totally know where you're coming from.
And in this one, it absolutely does matter. Like, what you get into late game and what weapons you can use and how your boss fights play really are affected by your team. But the nice thing is, any somewhat logical team progression, if you are making sure you've got any amount of diversity in your team whatsoever and not just, like, completely gimping yourself, if you're playing this game for the first time and decide to go 4 white mages, you might really, really not have a lot of fun. Though you're going to be hard to kill. And so it matters a lot in this case. So it's a fair concern.
Edgar said, I remember this game dearly. I think that its bare-bones story, apart from its high-concept ending, was actually one of its strengths. It made it so that you weren't playing the protagonist's story, you were playing your own. Plus, wasting moves and MP on baddies already dead really made you think about how many times you attacked each one. How did you hit them, and how many more hits they could take? If you didn't calculate, you found yourself wasting a lot of MP and a lot of time. Final Fantasy had an ingenious design and deserves its great legacy.
See, I know lots of people who really hate that mechanic, but I tend to agree with him that it's one of the things that keeps you thinking in this game. And so though there's some negatives to that as well, I like being engaged, so I liked having to make those choices as well through battles.
And then we've got a final email that just came in this morning. Kenny, I'm sorry. I understand that this game will probably get a unanimous approval, and I can see how it would. It's a classic, and it paved its way for so many other games, including the rest of the Final Fantasy series. However, I just didn't enjoy it at all.
Hold me back. Hold me back.
All right. At times, it was too difficult. You had to train a lot in order to be ready for any of the quests, and if it weren't for my emulator being able to speed the game up, I probably wouldn't have played as long. Like I said, I see the character, but it just wasn't from me. That's from Holden.
All right. I'm going to put on full old man mode and listen yell at here, these kids Sonny. To get off my lawn. Like, sometimes you got to embrace the grind. Like, if a game's holding your hands, if a game's holding your hand too hard, and you're like, given everything, you don't have to make choices, you don't have to explore, there's no difficulty, that's not what I want. Don't get me wrong, I get that pacing is an issue, and I'll let you off the hook this time. I won't talk to my peeps about knocking on your door late at night or anything, Holden, but... our overarching feel of this game definitely couldn't disagree more, but I can see some of the complaints that people have, and I won't begrudge you too much in this case.
Everyone's entitled to have their own opinions. Yours is just wrong. At the end of each and every episode, we like to randomly select a new game from our Retro Master list that you, as our loyal viewers, have submitted games to. The only criteria is that the game has to be 15 years old or older. And I believe that this week, it's only going to be you and me, Nolan, because Kenny, he's getting married today, as we've already acknowledged. He's going to be on his honeymoon.
I may be willing to get up a little early on the day of my wedding ceremony when I don't have to be anywhere until, like, into the afternoon. But I am not breaking in the middle of my honeymoon to play video games with you guys. Sorry.
I mean, you're not going to be doing stuff at all time. I'd say take a 30-minute break every now and again and come record with us.
We are going to be well off the grid a lot of the time. So even if I wanted to, it wouldn't be technically feasible. But... even if I was sitting in a video game lair as the honeymoon destination that I chose, I wouldn't choose to be spending this week with you guys. It's all about her.
Rude.
Well, we might show up anyways. So we're going to randomly select and find out what game that Nolan and I and our viewers are going to be playing for the next 7 days. And that game is... another game that started its own series and its own franchise. This game came out in 1996, and it was for the Sony PlayStation. It is a game called Crash Bandicoot.
Wow. Another big game.
This is going to be fun.
Yeah, I've actually not... I've played the game. I just never, like, beat it or played it in depth. As much as I play, that was my Banjo-Kazooie, because I was a 64 boy.
Well, yeah, and see, I was a PlayStation guy, so Crash Bandicoot was my jam. I've spent countless hours on this game, looking forward to going back to it this week. It's going to be a lot of fun. I this isn't groundbreaking. I have the console and the game.
Wow.
It means more when it's a Nintendo. Sorry.
Yeah, means even more when it's like Atari. Anyways, that's the game that we're going to be playing for the next 7 days, Crash Bandicoot. Make sure to play along with us. Send in your commentary and your thoughts to ngppodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to dialogue with you throughout the week and then include your commentary as a part of our episode next week. As always, you can find us on all podcast provider platforms. So you can go onto the Google Music Play Store. You can go onto iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, any of those. Find us, NGP Podcast. We'd love for you to subscribe so you can be the first ones to listen to our newest episodes as soon as they release. If you would like to support us even further, you can find out what that's all about at patreon.com/NGP Podcast. That's Patreon, patreon.com/NGP Podcast.
As always, thanks to all of our Patreon supporters for helping enable us to do what we do and do it well. Especially thank you guys who are supporting us at the producer level. Zion Bradley, you guys make all the difference in helping us bring quality content about retro gaming to this podcast each week, and we appreciate you.
And until next time, Kenny, have a great wedding today. Have a great honeymoon. We'll see you when you get back. And we're going to play, in the meantime, Crash Bandicoot, which is just about as good as playing a wedding. Playing a wedding? You're going to be playing a wedding this week?
False. It's nowhere close.
And until next time, I'm still Dustin.
I'm so pumped about getting hitched today.
I am Nolan.
And let's go get you married, Kenny. This has been New Game Plus.